you know, there's a lot of fans of Jesus, but there's not as many followers of Jesus. So I want to make sure you and I are all on the same page as far as what does it take to be a true follower of Jesus. So we've been talking about that. Last week we kind of kicked off this series, but you didn't miss much other than the fact that I said, well, there was a lot that I said, but the one thing I did say and did draw a distinction between was the difference between a fan and a follower. And I gave you several different things that fans do versus followers do, and on and on and on and all that stuff. And we talked about Deflategate. Yeah. How many of you are tired of that already? But anyway, nobody cares now. All right? But the truth of the matter is, I want you to become a follower of Christ. And I believe that's what God's desire is for your life. Now, with that being said, we talked about the difference between a follower and a fan. Just by definition is, a fan is an enthusiastic admirer. An enthusiastic admirer. You know, it's easy to be an enthusiastic admirer. You know? But a follower is someone who, get this, who imitates or acts like someone else. That's what a follower is. A follower is someone who imitates or acts like someone else. I don't know about you, but I've had plenty of opportunities in my life to be a fan of Jesus. And here's where I'm going with this. I believe there's a little bit of fan in all of us. A little bit of fan in all of us. I would dare say this, that at any given moment, some of you might flop from being a follower to a fan, depending on the circumstance. I got to be careful. Michelle's down here on Saturday nights with us. Isn't that awesome? That's great. So, but I told her I was going to use this story. I remember when we first got married, all right? Shortly after we first got married, we didn't have any money, which I was in the military, E1, no money. And Michelle wanted to get her hair done. Well, I grew up in a house where the women did their own hair because we didn't have any money. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So she had said she wanted a perm. I'm like, shoot, that's easy. I've seen that done in my house all the time. Anybody know where this is going? So she went out and she bought the perm stuff and came home, and I'm like, hey, listen, I got this, man. I've seen it done. She's like, hey, listen, here's what I want you to do. And she told me, you know, I want you to roll it, take the paper, you know, and roll the paper around the bob thing and then flip the thing. And I'm like, man, I've been through basic training. I can handle this. This ain't no problem. So I get there, and I get about 4 rolls into it. And she's like, that just didn't right. Make sure the line is straight. I'm like, well, when it all curls, it really doesn't matter which way it curls, does it? I mean, really? And so we go on. And about 3 more curls into this thing, she's like, you know, that really isn't tight enough. You need to go a little bit tighter. I'm like, all right, no problem. Then she was like, about 2 more. She's like, okay, that's a little bit too tight. You know, I'm like, I'm going to pull the hair out while I do it, you know. And I kid you not, at that point, I was a fan. I was a big-time fan. I got so mad at I turned around and I punched the wall. I punched the wall, and I could feel my hand going through the wall, and we were renting. Anybody been there? So I pulled back because I thought, oh, my goodness. Hey, listen, we had to have a timeout. We never did get the perm done. From that point on, I thought, if we give up meals to have hairdos, it's okay. Because we ain't going to survive 1 year of marriage. Just we were less than a year into this. I mean, actually, we're less than 6 months into it. And I'm ready to flip out over the do, man. Y'all know what I'm saying? And listen, I was in no way, shape, or form a follower of Jesus at that point in time. My point is this, that at any point in time, depending on the stress level that you might be under, you can go from follower to fan. I had an opportunity just today I was telling some folks about. Some guy had the opportunity to drive past me and nonverbal communicated with me, then pulled up beside me and went to tell me how the pink seat covers in my car made me look like a certain thing while my windows rolled down in my daughter's car. And I said, it's my daughter's car. And if you say one more thing, I'm going to be a fan. I'm going to be a fan all up in here. I'm going to be a fan. I would have had to call Heath. Heath, you need to get me out of jail. Because we all got some fan in us. Can I get a, come on, y'all. You got to be, at any point in time, we can go from following Jesus to fan. And just like that. Like if you're driving 13 miles from Greentown to Kokomo, like fan. That fast. And then afterwards, don't you always feel like, oh, Lord, I'm such a dirtbag. Go on. But hey, let me just tell you. Let me just identify with your humanity and say, we all got that in common. We all want to be, or at least it's my belief, you wouldn't be here on a Saturday night if you didn't want to be a follower of Jesus. All right? You want to be a follower of Jesus, and so do I. But I'm here to tell you that sometimes we dip over into that fan thing. And we get over in that fan thing. And now watch, it's all right to visit the fan club. Just don't be a card-carrying member of that baby. All right? Get yourself out of the fan club, because by the time I hit Walmart, I realized I'm a follower of Jesus. Follower of Jesus. So I got to do what Jesus would do. Come on, y'all ever talk to yourself about what Jesus would do? Some of you go through, Jesus wouldn't do this. Well, I'm here to tell you, I want you to be a follower of Christ. So what's that mean and what's that look like? And can we actually identify it and put definitions on it? Can we draw some things that are really practical that we can put into our lives that can make each and every one of us a better follower, not a fan, a follower? Or even let me say it this way, depending on what you've been through this week or depending on what you may go through this next week, you may have the opportunity. Well, let me say it this way. You will be guaranteed the opportunity to become a fan at some point in time. I don't care if it's the dog took a mess. You will have an opportunity to become a fan. So how do we make sure that we stay in the following instead of the fan? How do we stay there? How do we stay and make sure we're a follower? Well, I'm going to give you some things tonight that I believe will help you. I know it helps me. And as you think about these, I really want you to write them down, think about them, pray about them, and I believe the Lord will give you insight on them. Number one, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. You got to lay it down. You got to lay it down. You have to lay it. I don't know what it is in you, but you got to lay it down. It down. You got to lay it down. You have to lay whatever the it is in your life down. It could be your temper, it could be your feelings, it could be your emotions, it could be your attitude, it could be your disposition, it could be the way you feel about your spouse, could be any number of things that keep you from being a full-blown follower. Whatever is keeping you as a fan, you need to identify that it thing in you. And you need to begin to realize that Jesus came, watch this, not to make you happy, but to make you whole. Y'all hear what I'm saying? He came to make you whole. And the only way you're going to become whole is if you learn how to lay it down. You're going to have to lay it down. Another religious term would be die to yourself. You have to die to something. You have to sacrifice to something. You have to die to it. You got to lay it down in your life if you're ever going to experience all that God has for you. Think about Jesus. If there was any person on this planet that deserved not to lay anything down, it would have been Jesus. He was God. Amen? Amen? But in light of that, we know he came and he laid his life down. Do you remember what he said? He said, I did not come to do my will, but I came to do who? The will of the Father. The will of the Father. Hey, listen to this. You have an opportunity each and every day to do your will or to do the will of the Father. Adam and Eve, all the way back in the Garden of Eden, think about it. They had an opportunity. The enemy came, told them, if you eat, God's holding back on you. The only way you'll ever experience everything that God has for you is if you eat the fruit. And they bought into the lie. Watch this. They didn't die to that. They didn't lay it down. They actually picked it up. Every time you pick it up, guess what? You live for you, you don't deny yourself, and you put yourself in a compromising place and compromising situation. So let's say it's a guy giving you nonverbal communication down the road. as an example, hypothetically, if that ever happened to you, then you have an opportunity. Am I right? You have an opportunity to lay it down or to pick it up. The enemy would love for you to pick it up. The enemy would have loved for Pastor Charlie to be bailed out of jail tonight before service. And the worst part of that is not the bailing out. It's if I would have got whipped, that's would have been the worst part. Okay, anyway, that's another story. Oh, come on, that's a joke. Every dude in here knows what I'm talking about. It's one thing if you get bailed out. I've never been bailed out, by the way, just for the record. I'm not saying anything. All right, anyway. But hey, here's the truth. You have an opportunity. You have an opportunity. You can lay it down or you can pick it up. You can lay it down or you can pick it up. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, I believe it is. I want to show you this verse. Jesus said to his disciples, to who? Disciples. Come on, talk to me. To who?
Disciples.
His disciples. If anyone desires to come after me, watch this, let him deny himself. Do y'all see that? Deny who? Himself. Himself. Take up his cross and what? Follow me. Well, obviously, if we're talking about being followers of Christ, Jesus said you got to lay it down so that you can follow him. You can't take it all up and follow him. You can't take up every offense. You can't take up every argument. You can't take up every nut job driving by doing crazy things at you. You can't do every, you can't take all that up and not live a good life. Now, you can do it and be bitter and mad and angry, frustrated. Yeah. Preach on, Pastor Charlie. I will. You can do it, but you're not going to live the life that God's called you to live. If you're going to follow Christ, you're going to have to lay some things down. You're going to have to lay it down and say, you know what? I'm going to let you take that over, God, because I ain't got time to deal with it, and you have better for me. Here's where our problem begins. Our problem begins with this idea. We think by laying it down, we're giving up, and God doesn't have better. And I'm here to tell you that is not the truth. By you laying it down, you give it to God, and he actually can get involved in it. Think about it this way, and I'll show you. I call it the sliding scale of grace and reward. I don't know. I made that up just now. It's a sliding scale, but let me show you how it works. Now, sometimes I can be accused. Well, sometimes people have accused preachers of talking about money all the time. I don't talk about, matter of fact, most of the time I forget to take up the tithe and the offering around here. So, but just to show you how this works, let me show you in the area of money. The Bible says that when we give our tithe, 1/10, okay, then God blesses the 90. Everybody get that? Okay, so you give your tithe and then God blesses the 90. And God says, you can do more with 90 with my blessing on it than you can do without God's blessing with 100. That's what the Bible teaches, okay? Now, again, I'm not here to beat that up. I'm just here to say that. Because here's what we think. We think, especially in American culture, the more I get, the happier I'll be. But the truth of the matter is, when it comes to God and the kingdom, watch this. The more I give, the happier I am with what I have. It's pretty amazing, really. So, and again, we're talking about money, but I'm going to branch out and go into other areas. So when I give my tithe, my 10, then the 90 that I have left over, God allows me to experience more happiness with the 90 than I would have had with the whole 100. Now watch this. Let me show you. What happens if I give? Now, this isn't probably, I don't do this. If you do, praise God, I'm rooting for you. But let's say you gave 50% of your income. Then you would enjoy the 50% more under what I'm teaching and talking about. Because it's not what you gave, it's what you have that you celebrated and God's blessing is on it. It's kind of a rough scale, but you'll follow me on this. If I lay down 10% of my life, or areas of my life, then that limits God to only blessing me and moving in my life this much, 10%. But if I lay down 50% of my life, then God gives me 50% of my life to enjoy, and I enjoy it 50% more. This is why sometimes people look at people that don't have a lot and they say, how could they possibly be happy? Well, it's because if God's grace is on it, the little bit of what they do have, they are celebrating and living happier than for someone who has it all. And again, I'm not talking, this. My message is not about laying material things down, although I'm using that as an analogy. Here's what I'm saying, that when you give up yourself more to God, you'll enjoy the life you have all the more. As a matter of fact, I'll say it this way. If you don't give up your life, let's say you go through your whole life and you never give your heart to Christ, the Bible teaches that you will never even see life. You don't even see what life could have been. You robbed yourself of your own opportunities that God had for you. But the more you give to God, the more life you get to enjoy. So whenever I give God my attitude, God works in my personality. Come on, somebody. Everybody's like, my attitude. Why we got to talk about attitude? We go back to money. That was easier. Come on, y'all hear what I'm saying though. So the more of God, the more of yourself that you give to God, the more God blesses what you have left to greater levels. So the higher the level of blessing on your life has directly correlation to how much of yourself you give to God. So people that give very little to God, they're very miserable with their spiritual walk. People that give a lot of themselves to God become very happy and content with God. So I would ask you, are you a fan? Are you a follower? Followers lay their whole lives down. Whole lives. Listen to this, Matthew chapter 10. Same portion of scripture, but check this out. Here's what Jesus said. He said, whoever finds his life will what? Lose it. And whoever loses his life for my name's sake will actually what? They're going to find their life. You're going to find your life. Think about it. Even the cross is a representation of this. Jesus came, lived, watch this, and he died and he was buried. He laid himself down. See, you cannot have a resurrection till there's a death. If you want to walk in resurrection power, if you want the resurrection power of God, if you want fulfillment in God, in your life, then there must be a laying down of self to get to the other side. Y'all get that? The more you die to you, the more alive in Christ you become. Paul said it this way, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. What was he talking about? He's saying, I am a dead man. I've given all that I am to God. Do you know what God's expectation of you is? To give your all to him. To give your all to him. Is it hard? Some days it's real hard. Some days it's like, you know, you become fans of scriptures. Right? The Lord says, forgive them. You say, I'm a fan today. How about this? Vengeance is mine. You know what I've told the Lord? You take way too long. I know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Well, today it is mine. But that's an example of me not dying to myself. Right? If I lay that stuff down, isn't it amazing? We want grace, but we don't want to give grace most of the time. Not always, but sometimes. Do you follow me? But here's my point in saying this. If you want to live more, die more. The more you die, the more you live. Seems like a crazy way to live, but it's the most fulfilling and satisfying. Amen? Amen? Amen. That's the way to live, man. So now, we said the first thing, is you got to lay it all down. Lay it all down. Lay it all down. That's what we're talking about. So everybody say, lay it all down. All right? Second thing, you ready? Not only do you lay it all down, but watch this. After you lay it all down, you got to live all in. You got to live all in. You got to live all in. We celebrate people that live all in. Think about just with the Bible. We celebrate men like Abraham. He followed God. God told him, sacrifice your son. God was going to raise him up. Abraham believed God was going to raise him up. God wasn't going to provide a sacrifice, though. Y'all hear what I'm saying? But Abraham was willing to go all in. I know none of y'all play poker, but if you ever did, you know what it means to go all in. Put all the chips on the table. You know, oftentimes with God, we put some of the chips on the table. We don't want to go all in. Because if we go all in, that means we got to trust God and believe God, and we got to let God do his thing. And I'm here to tell you, man, that's the only way to live. You got to go all in. Think about Abraham. You think about Moses. All in. All in. We're going to the promised land. There wasn't no going back to Pharaoh. Pharaoh, we rethought this whole thing out. And can we just come on back? How many of you know, once you start killing kids, once people start dying, how many of you know there wasn't no renegotiating the terms of the contract? If they'd have went back, guess what? They'd have killed them. Yeah, we know that. You got to go all in. Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? We celebrate them. Three men in a fiery furnace. The fourth man showed up in the fiery furnace who was like the Son of Man. We celebrate them. But do you remember what they said to get there? They said, listen, we're not bowing to your image, Nebuchadnezzar. And if you put us in that fire, we're still not bowing. We may burn, but we're not bowing. They were all in, man. They were all in. They put it all in. How are you living for Jesus? Are you living all in? When I write my Bible, Charlie Riley Amplified Version, we're gonna include someone who's a Bible character. He's not mentioned in the Bible, but he's themed throughout the Bible. He actually has 5 different movies of him. And everybody knows who it is once I say it. Rocky. Do I know who Rocky is? You guys remember the first Rocky? Come on, that's the greatest movie ever made, right? Right? Gotta be one of them. But Rocky, do you remember Rocky training? And he had this eye for this chick. You might know who the chick was. Adrian! Come on, you know that's real. Adrian! All right, so you got Adrian and Rocky, and Rocky and Adrian are trying to hook up. Polly is all upset. I'm talking about the first one. Polly is all upset because he's a drunk and he doesn't. Can we get Rocky into the Bible? I don't know, but we're getting there, praise God. But check this out. So you got Rocky and you got Adrian and you got Polly, and they're all arguing all the time. And yet at the same time, Apollo Creed has now challenged Rocky to fight for the championship. All right, and those of you that hadn't seen Rocky, I'm catching you up. All right, but do you remember what happened there at the beginning when Rocky was trying to train with Mickey? Mickey got mad because he wasn't going all in. Do you remember? He was sitting there trying to punch a bag, you know, and Paulie's right there, man, why are you messing with my sister? And Mickey had had enough, and he says, that's it, I'm done. He walks off. You remember Mickey? You can catch a chicken. You can catch anything. You know what I'm saying? Man, I love that show. I can quote it. Ask Michelle. As it plays, I quote it. I'm serious. You're going to eat lightning and you're going to crap thunder. Seriously. I'm going to make you a very dangerous individual. Come on, y'all know what I'm saying? But every Rocky movie has the same plot. Have you not noticed? Every Rocky movie has the same plot. And really what it all has to do with is this right here. All in. There are times that the movie, especially the first 20, 30 minutes of it, Rocky's not all into it. He's just going along. He's just doing his thing. And then something triggers and happens, and then he has to go all in. He either goes all in or he's destroyed. And let me just say this. I believe first and foremost that God has called you to live all in. Because the safest place to be is all in. All in. When you're all in, God's got all of you. But when you're not all in, he's got some of you. And that's the most dangerous place to be. Best place to be all in. Be all in for God. Be all the way in. All the way in. I was thinking about it just in light of, let me show you a verse that kind of goes along with that idea of being all in. Check this out, Mark 10:17. Now, and this is about the rich ruler. He had a bunch of money. He was a rich ruler. and he comes to Jesus in the midst of the of Jesus's ministry. Now I want you to see something in this, all right? I want you to see some things about this man. Look at this. Mark 10:17. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one's good. That is, God. No one's good except God." Look at verse 19. "Well, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." Now watch his response. Watch this man's response. Verse 20. "And he answered and said to him, 'Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth.'" Okay, look at this. "Then Jesus, looking at him, looked at him and he said to him, 'The one thing you lack, go and sell whatever you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up your cross and do what? Follow me.'" Can I ask you a question? Was this man religious? Absolutely. Did he love God? Obviously so. He had done all that. He obviously loved God. Was he obedient to the commandments and the law? Yeah. 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 Was he probably on his way to heaven under the law? Yeah. But was he all in? Do you know Jesus didn't, it really wasn't about the money and it wasn't about the things. It was about a condition of this man's heart. The condition of this man's heart was, "I've done everything, but there's still one thing that has me. And I'm not willing to give up that one thing to follow you." And he walked up to Jesus, Jesus knowing his heart, picked out the one thing that kept him from following and being all in. The one thing. See, it don't take a lot. It just takes the one thing. The one thing. I would ask you this tonight. What's the one thing? What's the one thing in your heart that you could follow Jesus regardless? I mean, you're all in except for the one thing. And I'm asking you tonight to make a decision to lay it down. Or if you can't lay it down, go halfway with God. God, help me till I can lay it all down. Because I'm telling you straight up, God wants you all in. And the only way you go all in is giving your all. You lay down and then you give him your all. You give him all that you have. Give him all. You just lay it out there. Because when you give your all, my goodness, God will do big things in your life. I was thinking about this. Anybody ever heard of the story of Joshua Chamberlain? Anybody ever heard of that? I'll give you the date. You can go and study it on your own if you're a history buff or you like those kind of things. But check this out. Joshua Chamberlain, July 2nd, 1863. I'll give you a little bit of the story. Here's the story. Joshua Chamberlain was from Maine. He was part of the Volunteer Army out of Maine. He was a part of the Union, and they were at the Battle of Gettysburg. They were battling there. And they had battled there, and his army started out with about 300 men. And they were the only ones left there at Gettysburg. They were fighting two different Confederate armies that were battling, coming up, trying to get Gettysburg from them. And in the course of that, through the course of that July 2nd day, he lost all his men except eight men. And he was standing there, right there defending it. Well, they soon recognized that they were out of ammo. Now, they had already asked for reinforcements. Well, apparently, for some odd reason, they were not able. I think Trozer was a sergeant, came and told him, "Listen, no reinforcements are coming." So here's this man with eight. They are fighting an army of 4,000 at the Battle of Gettysburg. This is U.S. history. I know we all slept in that class. Yeah, I know. It's pretty amazing, though. And actually, this man, Joshua, actually was hit one time during the fight. He was hitting his belt buckle, and it knocked him down. But he got up and kept on fighting. So here he is in charge of eight dudes. They have a battle going on. They have an army on the other side of 4,000. They had stopped fighting for a moment. He realizes there are no reinforcements coming, and they are completely out of ammo. No way to fight. So he looked at his boys and he said, guess what? The history says that he jumped up on top of the mount that was defending the opposite army. He jumped up on top of the mount and he yelled this, charge. And 8 men, it's the greatest military battle that has ever been won by the least amount of people. 8 men surrendered 4,000 Confederate soldiers. The Battle of Gettysburg is what turned the war and actually turned the U.S. back into one nation. All because, get this, all because one man had the courage to go all in. One man, all in. He went all in. They later asked him in his life, why did you do it? He said, I felt like at least I wasn't going to get shot in the back. They asked him, he went on and talking about it. He said, listen, here's the way I felt about it. I didn't have any skills as far as a commander. He was a, get this, he was a theologian by trade. He's a preacher. Just saying. All right? But here's what he said. He said, listen. He said this. He said, listen, the one thing I had on the battlefield that no one else had was stubbornness not to stop. Come on. That's being all in. I'm not talking about you saying, Lord, help me give this area. No, I'm saying, Lord, I want to give this area and I'm not going to turn back and I'm going to keep pressing in until I give it all to you. I know I'm not going to do it perfect the first time. I may not do it right the second or third or fourth or even fifth time. But you're a God of second and third and fourth chances and I'm just going to charge this thing and I'm just going to give it all to you. If you want to see God do big things in your life, man, develop a heart like that. Where you not only lay down, you rise up and you give it all. When you give it all to God, let me tell you something. He'll give it all back to you, man. He'll give it all back to you. The Bible tells us that he will not withhold any good thing from those who love him. The truth of the matter is, get this, God is not trying to get anything from you. He's really not. He's trying to see where you place him in your relationship level. See, because really, truthfully, when you give it up to him, he'll give it all back to you. With blessings on top of it. Amen? Amen? Amen. That's the truth. So everybody say, lay down. Lay it all down. All right? Everybody say, live all in. Live all in. All right? Now, here's the last one. You ready? Love all out. You got to love all out. See, it does no good if I only talk to you about the first two. I got to get to this one where we talk about you loving all out. And let me tell you, sometimes that's hard, right? Come on, you ever meet people that you're like, okay, Lord, it's going to take we going to have them. I say this all the time, and I believe it's true. The miraculous thing about God, now think about what I'm about to say, is he loves everybody. Just stop right there and let that settle for a minute. Some of you are getting flashes. Yep, I'm talking about them. Yep. Mm-hmm. Hey, here's the revelation. Someone's thinking of that about you. Hold on, let's just get a picture of them. Now you got to love them. Hey, listen. You're going to have to lay it down. You're going to have to allow God to let you go all in. Yeah? And then you're going to have to love all out. You're going to have to love all out. Just all out. I'm just going to love you regardless of what you do, what you say, how you act, what you may think of me, what you may not think of me. I'm going to love you all that I can. Now, has there ever been anyone who has ever passed away that has ever said, I am so upset that I'm passing away because I loved everybody? People don't talk like that. I've met a lot of people that have said, you know, I wish I could make it right with so-and-so before they passed. I wish I could make it right with so-and-so before they passed. I wish I could make it right with myself before I wish I could make it right. I wish I could make it right. I wish I could show them that I really do love them. Met a whole bunch of people like that. I've never met anyone that has said, you know what? I've loved everybody and now I'm mad. Come on, the Bible says in Galatians 5:22, 5:23, that the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, self-control, all those. It says, against such there is no law. There's no law. People don't get mad when you love them. People don't get mad when you love them. And listen, here's the truth. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, here's what you'll do. You'll love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and strength, and you're going to love who? Neighbor as? Most of us don't have a problem with the first one. It's easy to love perfection. Come on, y'all. Come on, it's easy to love God. That's the easy part. It's easy to love a perfect person. Hey, it's a little bit harder to love somebody who's imperfect. But if you're going to be a follower, now if you want to be a fan, you can be a love fan, like Love Ship Lollipop, the love boat, if you want to call it that. You can jump on and jump off. Today, honey, are you Love Ship Lollipop and love boat, or no, not today? You have a choice. But listen, if you're going to be a follower, then that takes the choice out of it. You're going to lay yourself down. You're going to live fully in, and you're going to love fully out. You're going to love it all out. You're going to love your kids, even when they talk nasty to you. You're going to love your neighbor. You're going to love people that drive on the road. You're going to love people that put stuff on Facebook about you and don't even know you. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about you. Come on. I haven't seen nothing on Facebook lately about me, all right? Somebody will blast me tonight. But anyway, here's my two theories on this. You ready? People are real brave on Facebook and behind their car. It's amazing how brave they are. Say that to my face. Well, anyway, I'm moving on. See, because I'm loving all out. Love all out. Love all out. Love all out. That's what I'm doing. Come on, am I real though? Am I real? Come on, it's hard. You see something? Somebody put something on Facebook about you or whatever? And you're like, oh, wait till I see them. Wait. Come on, you guys know what I'm talking about, you know? But here's the truth. You can live that way and never really experience all that God has for you. Or you could love all out and never regret a day of your life. Never regret it. Never regret it. Never regret it. Never regret it. Listen to what Jesus said. Real simple verse here. Greater love has no man than this, that he would do what? Lay down his life. For who? His friends. I know we talk about that, laying down our lives. I know we talk about it with the police and civil service people, and I know we talk about it in the military. It was a verse we used in the military. I know we talk about that verse, but let me kind of give you a different angle on it, if that's all right. The Bible's teaching us this. Greater love, no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friend. How many of you know that is noble and to be applauded? Talk to me, yeah. But how about this? What if I translated it this way? Greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his God. See, if you love God, you'll lay yourself down for him. You'll lay yourself down for him. You'll imitate him. You'll be a follower of him. Y'all hear what I'm saying? When it comes to God's love, I want you to think of it this way. God's love is so awesome. It's one of the four aspects that God says he is. God says he is light. God says he is love. God says, I want to say either three or four, but nevertheless, here's my point. Here are three things that I believe God's love in your life should look like. You ready? Here's what it is. God's love is unconditional. Do you believe that? It's unconditional. We used to sing a song like that about 10 years ago. Your love is unconditional. His love for you is unconditional. His love for you, get this, is not even based upon you. Maybe you've been taught the idea that God gets angry with you. Maybe you've been taught that if you mess up, God's mad at you, but if you do right, then God loves you. I'm here to tell you, God loves you all the same, either way. Say, but Pastor Charlie, is he happy when I disobey? I'm saying this. Whether you disobey or obey or not has nothing to do with his love for you. Nothing. His love for you is unconditional. Well, I'll curse him. You can curse him. He'll still love you. You could live a life 150 years old, curse him every day of your life, and at the end of your life, he'll still love you. You can't do anything to separate yourself from his love. Can't do it. Can't do it. Can't do it. Jesus took the wrath of God on the cross for you and I so that God could show his favor, his grace, his mercy, and his love to us each and every day. Come on, amen? Everybody say, God loves me in spite of me. Do you believe that? Absolutely. Let's look at this next one. He loves you sacrificially. Sacrificially. He will sacrifice all. Matter of fact, he did sacrifice all and his best for you only. He's sacrificial to you. Sacrificial. And here's the last one. God's love is irreversible. He can't change it. He can't change it. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. God never like makes a decision and goes, oops. God never wakes up and goes, I got an idea. He knows all. There isn't any of that with him. It's irreversible. He has never stopped and he's never going to stop. It's irreversible. He's not turning back. He's not giving up. He's not turning away from you. All I'm asking you to do tonight is say, Lord, I don't want to give up on you. I'm all in. I'm all out. I'm laying it all down. I'm after you, man. I'm after you. I'm after you. And never turning back. I'm never turning back from that mentality. Listen, there are going to be good days and there are going to be bad days. Hey, listen, next week, you don't want to miss next week. I'm going to talk about how to get unstuck in the mud. I actually titled it that already, Stuck in the Mud. Because some of us are stuck as fans and we need to be followers. And we just don't know how to get to the next thing to get us moving. But here's my point in saying this tonight. My point in saying this is make a decision and then don't turn back. Then don't turn back. Most of you know I love reading about Navy SEALs and military and paramilitary stuff and all that stuff. And one of the things during budge training is they want you to tap out. They want you to tap out. They want you to ring the bell. They want you to give up. They try and push you even through basic military training. They want you to give up. They want you to throw the towel in. They want you to turn back and go and leave. They try and get you to. They push you to. Why? Because they don't want somebody giving up in the heat of the battle. They don't want you giving up when it really matters. Come on, talk to me. Anybody hear what I'm saying? They don't want you giving up when it really matters. Here, right here in this room, it doesn't matter. You know, that's what the military's thinking. It doesn't matter in here. If you get mad because we spray you with a water hose, oh well. Quit, leave, go home. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Don't get on the battlefield when everybody's dependent on you and then give up. You can't turn back. They want people that never turn back. Here's what I'm asking you tonight. Be a person that never turns back. God, I'm all in. I'm all out. I'm full forward. I'm moving forward. I'm growing. Hey, listen, I may miss it today. I may miss it tomorrow. I may have a bad day. I may be the guy driving the truck, flipping everybody off. But you're not, right? No. Don't put our church sticker on the back of your car. If so, be like that. Get somebody. Well, anyway, we're just going to leave that there. But my point is this. Hey, listen, man, go all in. Go all in. And you say, well, Pastor Charlie, I don't know what to do. Here's what I do know. If you'll just give that to God, God, I don't know what all in is, but show me what all in is for me. And I believe with all my heart, he will do it. I believe with all my heart, he will do it. Get this, a little story here about a man, and I always get his name wrong, so I'm hopefully going to correct it here. Hernan Cortez. Anybody ever heard of that guy? Hernan Cortez? Hernan Cortez. February 19th, 1519. Anybody know that date? Does that bless you? Nobody. All right, listen to this. Check this out. With 11 ships, 13 horses, 110 sailors, and 553 soldiers, he embarked and he landed in Mexico. Mexico had a group of people called the Aztecs were living there. There were 5 million of them. And again, remember, all he had was 11 ships, 13 horses, 110 sailors, and 553 soldiers. That's all he had. He landed on that island, and guess what? Or not on that island, on the Mexican border. And Spain wanted to conquer Mexico. So he gets off, and he was the commander of all these people. He steps off, and he looks out, and he sees 5 million people. And he sees his little group of dudes. And you know what the first thing he did? He said, he commanded everyone to burn the ships. Why do you think he did that? That was their rescue. He burnt the ships. They burnt all the ships. And guess what? Within 6 years, they had conquered all of Mexico. From his little bitty army. Kept growing and taking over. Here's the deal. Some of you need to burn some ships in your life. I'm burning the ship of my attitude tonight. I'm burning the ship of how I think about this. I'm burning the ship of unforgiveness. I'm burning the ship of bitterness. I'm burning the ship. Listen, I love Jesus. I'm a fan. Hey, I applaud you for being a fan. Followers burn ships. They burn ships. One of the biggest ships I ever had to burn, no joke. I worked at SBC. I was a telephone man. I loved my job, loved it, made great money. I was excited about having the job, felt that God had given me that job. But the church had grown to about 100 people. And at that time, I had 2 little kids, a wife going to school, and trying to do work and everything. And I realized, Michelle and I talked about it, there was no way I could successfully pastor and yet do all that stuff. So I had to make a choice. I had to make a choice about SBC, at that time AT&T and all that. And you know what I did? I chose to pastor. And that was, it's those people that have been here long enough that remember that. That was a huge decision for me and my family. Huge decision. But it was the best decision. And when I went in there and told them I was quitting and I was walking away, listen, there wasn't no going back. I had to burn the bridge. Now, I love those people and they still love me and all that, but here's the truth. That ship got burnt and I couldn't go back. Even after the church grew to 100, 150, 200 people, and there were days where I was like, I need to go check out the web and see if they got a job opening. Come on, you might know what I'm saying? I knew in my heart, I can't go back. I'm not saying that the thought wasn't there. You ought to go back. I'm telling you that the thought I had to stay with was, I'm all in. Why? Because followers go all in. And I'm asking you here tonight, will you lay it down? Will you live all in? Will you love all out and not turn back? If you'll do that, man, I promise you God's going to do big things in your life, man. So everybody say this. Everybody say, lay it all down. Live all in, love all out, and not look back. Come on, you believe that tonight? All right, give the Lord a big clap offering. Praise God.